Welcome back to Followers Podcast. This is episode 2. Saul, also known as the Apostle Paul. Saul of Tarsus was a very religious Pharisee. That's what I'm going to talk about today. Saul of Tarsus, who later becomes Paul. He's Saul as a Jewish Pharisee, and then he's Paul as a Christian missionary. So no person shaped the history of following Jesus as Paul did. Even before he was a Jesus follower, his actions were significant. He trained under Gamaliel, which was the finest Jewish training available. His intentions and efforts were sincere for the Jewish faith. He was considered a good, quote-unquote, good Pharisee who knew the Torah, but he believed the Christian movement was dangerous to Judaism. He hated Christian faith and wanted to stop it, even if that meant violence through persecution of Christians. He persecuted Christians and gave approval for the stoning of Stephen's death, which I'll give you a very little background on Stephen. Stephen was one of the leaders chosen for manager of food distribution in the early church, basically food distribution to the poor. This is really the original soup kitchen. Stephen's spiritual qualities were faith, wisdom, grace, power, and the Holy Spirit's presence in his life. He was considered a great teacher, debater, and leader. He was first known to give his life for the gospel as witnessed by Saul. This witness is in Acts 7, 55 through 60, where the stoning of Stephen happens. And I'll read it from Acts. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this, they covered their ears, yelling at the top of their voices. They all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was there, giving approval to his death. While this didn't lead to Paul's ultimate conversion to Christianity, it got him thinking about Jesus, and it got him thinking about the Holy Spirit. It really got the ball rolling for Paul. Paul's teacher, Gamaliel, he was a teacher of Jewish law, a very distinguished member of the Jewish council. He was turned out to be an unexpected ally to the apostles. Although he didn't support their teachings, as we'll see, he ended up saving their lives. In Acts 5 through 34, we see Gamaliel talking to the Jewish council. This is in 5:34 through 40. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed them, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Thaddeus appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed. All his followers were dispersed, and it came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all of his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." So this is where we pick up Paul's ministry and what he was trying to accomplish. He was trying to accomplish unity and obedience. He became a zealous missionary after he was a zealous Jew, attempting to prove that Jesus is the Christ, the chosen Messiah, as stated in Acts 9:22. Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. His life had changed from a zealous Christian persecutor, and he wanted his words and actions to show this. He was striving for change, not only in his heart, but for unity and obedience for all people. This obedience results from a relationship with God. But obedience will never create or earn that relationship. It is something that God offers us. He gives us the opportunity to accept or decline. It is totally up to us, but it is always there, that offer. Paul learns this obedience during his journey to Damascus, where he encounters Jesus personally. In Acts 9:1-15, we see this, Saul's conversion, where he later becomes Paul, the Apostle Paul. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around them. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." He replied, "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street, ask for a man named Tarsus from Saul. I mean, a man named Saul from Tarsus, excuse me. For he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, Go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. So we see that Paul thought he was a pursuing heretics of the Jewish faith by persecuting them. But he actually finds out that by persecuting Christians, he was also persecuting Jesus himself. So when we mistreat or judge or don't love as Jesus loves or destroy our earth, we are persecuting Jesus because he is the creator of all. He's the creator of plants and animals, people, sunrises, sunsets. It's the beauty and tragedy of earth. He's in it all. We should remember this in all our interactions, whether with people, animals, or our earth. Paul's obedience, he was also striving for unity of all people in a one united religion with one division, with no division. He was looking for a multi-ethnic family of followers of Christ, not a single family, just a family of everyone, whether white people, black people, people with red hair, blonde hair, black hair, people with tattoos, people who don't look like you. It's all ethnicities. That was what he was striving for. He believed all people are God's people, and this is how we are to behave. This is what he wanted us to do. The essential of God's message, how we are to interact in this world with all beings. It's a life of love, obedience, and unity of all things created. So I encourage everyone to study the life of Paul. Paul is a great example of how no one is impossible for God to reach and change. We just have to give it a chance. A good starting point to study the life of Paul is the book of Galatians. Paul has been a great example of how to live in my life for the divine. His agape love for the divine is great, and this agape love is the highest form of love or charity. It's the love of God for man and of man for God. It is unconditional love, which means that you love someone without expecting anything in return. That is God's message. He doesn't expect anything in return. So this is what this agape love is what drove Paul's life each and every day. And I encourage everyone as we study and meditate on God's word, I feel this agape love will grow in all of us and lead us to great obedience and unity for everything. It is, although not an instant change, it's a lifelong journey. It's a lifelong journey that I'm still on. in whatever season you're in, it's never too late to start. God is always there for you. So I'd like to close with one of Paul's many prayers, which is found in Philippians 1, 9 through 11. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Once again, thank you to Christian and Leslie for this opportunity. Thank you guys for listening. And for my main man, Andrew. May God and love guide you always.